Hi, everybody. Welcome to the NovaCare Complex, our Xfinity studio, as we get into day two of this Eagles pre-draft minicamp. Dave Spadaro with you, hoping everyone is having a great Eagles day. Day one yesterday was a lot of fun. We hope to follow that up this afternoon. We'll hear from quarterback Michael Vick. He will be surrounded by the media as he steps off the practice field. We got a very brief glimpse into the world of Chip Kelly's practice yesterday. Limited access for this pre-draft camp. We're going to show you throughout this Eagles Live every bit of the video that we have been given approval to show. Let's get you caught up on some of the headlines here. And as we dig into a beautiful Wednesday here in South Philadelphia. See, to me, beautiful means that the Eagles are on the field and we get to enjoy watching this team come together. Michael Vick to meet the media in just a matter of moments. Of course, we will make every effort technologically to bring that to you live. Interesting to hear what he has to say. According to head coach Chip Kelly, the depth chart is even. It's more like a seating chart. Love that line from Chip Kelly yesterday. I thought the press conference was really interesting. We're going to get to a recap in just a couple of seconds here. Missing this camp, at least to this point, center Jason Kelce, outside linebacker, defensive end Chris McCoy, tight end Evan Moore. NFL schedule comes out tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the evening. Make sure you get to PhiladelphiaEagles.com at 7:59:59, and we'll have that for you. And our draft coverage, which is wall-to-wall, which is absolutely remarkable, starts Monday at noon. Right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Today we're going to take some phone calls. We're going to talk to a bunch of players out on the field. Obviously, the Michael Vick story continues. I can't wait to find out what he has to say as he becomes more acclimated to Chip Kelly's practice routine and the offense that this team will run. Kelly yesterday held a 29-minute press conference. It was great. We got more of that to come. So we broke down 29 minutes, condensed it into the best of the best of. Let's take a listen to Chip Kelly from one day ago.
Just got off of our first day of voluntary minicamp. A lot of positive things. First off, everybody was here. I think we had 74 total guys participate today. Three guys not fully participated, Jason Kelce, Chris McCoy, and Evan Moore, but everybody else was full go, so it was good to get them back out in the field. Guys running around, good tempo, good pace, good energy. Mike was, and I think Dennis actually got reps with him. So, you know, we're just rolling. So Billy's got those guys. I think the first snap of seven on, I think the first snap a team Nick may have took, and I don't know if it was, we had three team periods, 2 7 on periods, so it rotated. So through five different periods, I think that rotated. So there wasn't one set guy that just went with the ones the entire day. You know, all those guys got an opportunity to roll through. So I think obviously it's a little bit slower. You know, we don't have the numbers that we had. And it's also day one. You know, it's, if I go back to day one at Oregon, it was probably kind of similar, to be honest with you. You know, certainly won't be the pace that we play at during the season, because during the season, our numbers are drastically down. You know, at the college level, you got 105 players for practice. And then after the first game, that actually goes up, you know, in the National Football League, you have 53 on your roster, and then you got 8 other practice guys, so you only got 61 guys available to practice. So, you know, at this point in time, it's offense is going against the defense. We're not preparing to play against an opponent, you know, so we're not breaking things down from a real schematic standpoint and who your scout players are and that. We're just, you know, trying to implement our offense and our defense. So I thought for an off-season pace, it was pretty good. Jason looked, you know, kind of what I had hoped that he was going to look like. First off, he's a very big human being that moves extremely well. But he participated through the full practice. So, you know, I think one of those deals when it's probably a good sign when you never looked over and said, geez, he doesn't look like he's himself right now. He was moving around and looked really at home at left tackle. So, you know, when you have someone that's got that type of talent at that type of size, it's encouraging to see him get through that practice. So, honestly, I'm not that philosophical. I want to come out of it with the best players, you know, and you know, hopefully my goal is that we have a lot more drafts, you know, so you could say it's your signature draft if it's your only draft. So I plan on being here more than 1 year. So our whole goal is can we improve this football team? And that's it. But I don't look at it as this is a defining moment of what we're doing. And when people look back 10 years, 20 years, you know, who was the pick and all those other things, that I'm not that deep, I can tell you that. So we're just trying to get the best player we can. I think the draft has depth. You know, I don't think, you know, there's not an Andrew Luck or an RG3 or someone that you just say, hey, that guy's going to be a 10-year all-pro, one of the best. You know, I had the opportunity to, fortunately or unfortunately, to coach against Andrew Luck in our league. So, you know, he was as close as there was to a can't-miss guy. I don't see that type of guy in this draft at any position, to be honest with you. So, but I think depth-wise, there's a lot of really quality players there. Let me ask you, I'm going to put you on the spot. Is there a can't-miss prospect? You tell me today, April 16th. Because I'm 5 years from now, I'm going to say, on April 16th, you said, who do you got, Jeff?
Derek Fisher.
I don't know. I don't know either.
Well, you said that, did you know that going in last year, that Luck or
I knew Luck was.
Yeah.
Because okay. I coached against him. I wasn't analyzing the draft, but,
you guys had a fourth pick. Yeah. So if there's not a can't-miss quarterback, you probably wouldn't draft a quarterback.
There's not a can't-miss player, is what I'm saying. You know, so no matter who you take.
You would take a risk on a tackle at the fourth spot than you would a quarterback, right?
I would like to take a risk on a place kicker at the fourth pick. So you can pin me down, but it's not going to happen right now. I'm trying to pin you down. Who would you take? Who would you take? Okay. I'm going to hold you to it.
Yeah.
5 years from now.
I've been for you guys on Monster Ass.
You have?
Yeah.
Okay. Mark it down.
See, the man has a gift. And we had heard how reluctant he might be with the media, and that may very well prove to be the case online. But boy, right now, Chip Kelly, in front of the media, in front of the fans, is delivering very comfortably. Looks like he's having a good time, very quick, really enjoyable to listen to. So look forward to more of that from Chip Kelly. Monday, guys, before we get to Michael Vick here, and that's coming up in just a moment, we have an important event for the Eagles off the field. The Eagles cheerleader final audition show, live right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We will show that for you on Monday evening. Make sure you tune in. I believe 7 o'clock is the time. 7:30 will be live from the Kimmel Center here in Philadelphia. Trying to get down to 38. 38 make the team. Started at 300, 400, down to 60. We cut to 38. Pressure time for a lot of very talented and courageous young ladies. We're going to talk now to Christy, who is one of the hopefuls who has been going through the process and shares with us just how difficult it is.
I'm Christy Kasich. I'm from New York City. I've done some modeling over in New York, and I was on an unofficial Giants dance and cheer team last year. So that brought me here to Philadelphia because I wanted to try out for an NFL team. And I've done some dancing in New York. I take mostly dance classes from Broadway Dance Center, and I've worked with all kinds of great teachers. Modeling has been great. I just signed with an agency about a year ago, so that's been so much fun. They send me on all different kinds of castings, all kinds of different things like that. I auditioned for Pepsi, and it's been a great experience so far. So I really hope I make the Eagles, and that's about it.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
There's a sight
A sound. A taste to this town.
Hot Italian bread ready for dinner.
Over 500 varieties of produce, fresh every day.
Custom cut just for you.
Acme, everything from local produce to Lancaster beef from family-owned farms to breads baked all day.
Salty or sweet?
My neighborhood. My Acme.
So, man, how's that Bud Light Port Paradise cruise?
Oh, man. First day. So later on, it's all swing, baby, swing, swing, baby. Then we hit the ship's deck. Next day, there's this private island concert. So what'd you guys do?
4 days, 3 nights, a two-day music festival, and one legendary party, Bud Light Port Paradise. Here we go.
Join us on May 18th and 19th for Eagles Academy for Men. This is your chance to learn from the pros, play like the pros, and even eat like the pros. Now get the ins and outs of football from Eagles coaches, then put those skills to the test on the practice field with current Eagles players. Throughout the day, get a first-hand look at the Eagles practice facility, including the weight room, the training room, team meeting rooms, and even the locker room. Tickets are on sale now at philadelphiaeagles.com/mensacademy.
I'm Bob McNell, wide receivers coach, and you're watching philadelphiaeagles.com.
And we're back. Dave Spadaro with you. 215-339-6709 is the telephone number. As we await Michael Vick and his meeting of the media, we will open up the phone lines, and we hope for your phone calls. Of course, we've got a lot to talk about here. Chip Kelly, his performance with communication to you. Kind of want to get an idea of how you feel about Chip and all the things that he said. We also, as we're going through the show, we're going to show you all the video that we have from the first day of practice. Then we'll have later practice video from today. But, you know, obviously it's very restricted, and the Eagles just want to make sure that they handle what they're doing on the field in a private manner in this pre-draft camp. And then in just a few moments, Michael Vick will meet the media. So we open up the phone lines, 215-339-6709. Angel in Orlando joins us. Angel, good afternoon.
Good. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing really good. I'm excited. The draft is getting closer and closer. I was thinking about the draft, and everyone's talking about quarterback, and I really think since we haven't picked so high in the draft before, that if we're able to get good players, like you always say, at other positions, since we're picking so high in each round, that next year, or even the year after that, if we, you know, once we do get a quarterback of the future, we'll have pieces around him so that he can succeed, kind of like an Alex Smith, or these people have pieces around them.
Yeah, but Alex Smith was the first pick overall in the draft, I believe.
Yeah, and he didn't play good until he had pieces around him.
Right, but the Eagles do have pieces around. I mean, they've got an all-pro running back. They've got good receivers. They've got an offensive line that has a chance to be great. So this is not the cupboard offensively is not bare for the quarterbacks on the roster now or any quarterbacks the Eagles would add
exactly
in this draft. Yeah.
But like you always say, we were 4-12, so
yeah,
you know, we have a lot of room to improve as well, even though I believe we have an awesome team. I always do every year. But obviously, 4-12 season, we did have some people injured on the offensive line. But if we can get depth on both lines, get some, you know, get bigger on defense, because we were always a lot smaller with Andy Reid. And I feel like we are getting bigger, and we're not losing much speed because we're getting big, fast guys. So if we're able to continue that for this year, even the next year as well, and then we're able to find that franchise quarterback, I think we'll get back to that, level of success, and even more success, hopefully, than we've had in the past.
Yeah, we take a look at Jeff Stoutland running the offensive line drills. I'll tell you, the truth is, Angel, if you can find, and thanks for the phone call, if you can find, maybe he's here in this system, maybe the key here is, keywords, franchise quarterback. Who is your franchise? I mean, we know they've got running backs. And I think the combination of LeSean McCoy and Bryce Brown and Chris Polk, that's a pretty darn good start. But who's the quarterback? That's the big question. 215-339-6709, the telephone number. On this Wednesday here in South Philadelphia. And again, this is a look at yesterday's practice. Just some warm-ups, just to give you a little taste of the Eagles on the practice field. There's Ifeanyi Moma, number one. Love his length, love the big hands he's got. Just a really good prospect for the Eagles. Michael Vick at the quarterback position. Nick Foles getting their work in. And we'll hear from Michael Vick in just a few moments here. Because we really don't know what he feels about this offensive structure. Bill in California joins us on Eagles Live. Hi, Bill. There's G.J. Kinney. Hey, Bill.
David, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
It's been a long time.
Yes, sir.
This was I haven't talked to you since last year. This was a rough year.
Well, welcome back. I'd rather talk about this year and talk about last year, Bill. We've had plenty
of
months.
I'm ready for this year.
Absolutely.
I feel the excitement. And again, I'm in 49er territory, so it's tough. But I feel the excitement here right now with this team that I felt in 2000.
Interesting. Certainly the new regime, that would be a great parallel. I don't know. I'm probably not the right person to ask, Bill, because I always feel excitement, but I do appreciate that perspective from the fans. It is the start of something, and I think everybody's energized by Chip Kelly. And I think the one thing
I would really like to see him do, and I've heard you use the word before, trust. And I trust that Kelly's going to do and Howie, they're going to do and pick the right person. But I would like to see them get one of the linemen.
Well, when you say one of the linemen, Bill, and thank you very much for the phone call, you're talking about with that fourth pick. I mean, you know, that's a question. I absolutely believe that they will get an offensive lineman. But I also believe, as we look at the defensive backs and that group working, I think you're going to see the Eagles do it, but I'm not sure they're going to do it in round one. I think the way you listen to what the experts are saying about the draft, there's a lot of good offensive linemen in this draft. So, look, if they use the fourth round draft, the fourth pick in the draft on an offensive lineman, or for Jerry Az, a defensive lineman, I am okay with that. This is not a one-player draft to me. This is a seven-round draft, nine picks. Great to see Todd Herrmann's on the field. Is Todd Herrmann's going to be a right tackle, a right guard? Jeff Stoutland, is he going to be... If he can turn this offensive line into something close to what Alabama was in terms of the domination at their level, oh, baby, would that be awesome. Dave Spadaro with you on this Wednesday. It's Eagles Live. We're taking a look at some practice footage, what the Eagles gave us. Not a ton, we know. You'll get more. Pre-draft camp certainly is a level of privacy that Chip Kelly would like to maintain as he introduces this team to his way of practice. The way is up-tempo, get to the line of scrimmage, energy, precision, and getting as many reps as possible for all these players. I think that's the way to go. He's had great success doing that in Oregon. Now, let's go out to the field now. Michael Vick, Eagles quarterback, addressing the media.
I believe in the guys on this football team, and you know, I'm just excited I'm back in Philadelphia for another year, and you know, we have an opportunity to do some great things regardless.
Mike, when you look at the way you restructured your contract for 1 year, there were a number of teams out there that still need a starting quarterback.
Yeah.
You could have forced the Eagles to trade you or release you. Why would you take the risk here instead of going somewhere where you knew somebody needed a starting QB?
Well, you know, I took the risk here because, you know, I feel like, you know, Philadelphia has been great to me. I feel like, you know, Jeffrey Lurie has been awesome and outstanding in his ownership and leadership. Obviously, bringing in Coach Kelly was a determining factor and wanting to have an opportunity to, you know, learn a new offense and watching Oregon and what they did the last couple of years. I was just, you know, excited about giving it another shot. And, you know, sometimes money is not, you know, the determining factor in everything, and it should never be. because if you make money to, you know, decide factor, then, you know, it can alter a lot of other things. So I think the smartest thing to do was to just rethink it, think about it in the best, you know, possible light, and make the best situation decision possible.
Does this offense fit your picker skills?
Yeah, after the practice I had today, I think so. You know, I think, you know, this offense is very, you know, it's very dynamic. You know, it's up tempo, fast pace. It's something like I never seen before. And, you know, after the last 3 or 4 weeks and learning the offense, and then, you know, coming out and, you know, practicing it, you know, I'm very excited about what we're doing.
When you say that after the practice that you had today, do you mean like you just felt like a natural fit, or did some things go well? What did you mean by that?
Well, I felt like I made a big jump from yesterday until today. Actually going out there and practicing and seeing it against different defenses, and was very accurate today. You know, guys, you know, running wide open, and, you know, I think that's the system. But, you know, our defense did a great job, but I was able to make some tight throws, and, you know, I feel like the learning curve right now for me in this system is coming along. So I'm excited about what we're doing. I'm excited about my teammates. They're doing a great job. And, you know, the thing I've, you know, grown to know is that we have a very smart football team. You know, these guys are on it. They know what they're doing. It's a lot being thrown at them right now, and they're doing the right things, and they're making plays out there on the field. So, you know, we're giving Coach Kelly everything we got. We believe in him, and we're thankful he's our coach.
You've got a lot of different coaches and a lot of different coordinators.
We've done a lot of read options. You know, it's part of what we do. You know, I've been working very hard in the weight room, and all the other quarterbacks have as well. So, you know, we're trying to make sure we physically fit and ready for whatever needs to be done in this offense.
Mike, you started over 100 games. Is this kind of like starting all over again? You know what I mean? You've been the guy.
Yeah. I mean, it's like starting all over again. I mean, the competition is great every day. I think it pushes you. I think it makes you better. You know, I know I can certainly find the good and the positives, and most importantly, get the most out of myself. You know, and I think the, you know, the great ones have to be able to do that. You know, I think it's competition every day and every Sunday. So this is just preparation for that.
Mike, after everything you've done in this game, as long as you've been at this, does it bother you at all that still at this point in your career, you still have to play for a job in that sense?
Well, I mean, you know, we all play for jobs each and every day. You know, I think if, you know, you're starting quarterback and you're 3-1 and you go out there and you throw 4 interceptions 1 week and you lose the game, you go out there and throw 4 interceptions the next week, you got to have an opportunity of being pulled. And that's a chance that you may be pulled out the game. So nothing is never set in stone or concrete. And I think we all have to, you know, earn our respect in this league. We all have to earn our positions, earn our jobs. And it's not only on Sundays, but like Coach Kelly said, you have to win every day. And, you know, we got to let our habits reflect our mission. And that's what I'm trying to practice.
Mike, I know you haven't had a full playbook yet, but you're going to talk about what the offense, you think, will look like, a spread through tight end, and how that will be for you.
Say that again.
Just the dynamic of the offense, a lot of spread through tight end. What's that going to be like for the quarterback?
The offense, I can just say to sum it all up, is just very refreshing. And, you know, and learning it and getting a feel for what, you know, Coach Kelly wants and what we're trying to do and what we're trying to accomplish. You know, it's you know, it's beautiful when it all comes together. So, you know, we just got to keep practicing and keep going over it and keep getting repetitions, reps and repping everything out, and you know, making the most out of each and every practice, getting whatever we can out of it, and we're doing that.
Mike, how is the culture? What percentage of the offense?
We go back and forth, number one, number two. So, you know, and that's a situation. You know, we're not worried about that. You know, we're worried about getting better. And, you know, the fun part about it is that we all go out there and make plays, and we're all confident in ourselves, and that's what's most important. I know I'm confident in myself.
How's that work with Nick when he goes in? Because if you're doing read option, and is he running that?
I mean, Nick can run. You know, everybody got two legs. so he can do it, man. We all can do it, and that's why we're all here.
Mike, if you do have to run a lot of the read option in games, that means the quarterback is more susceptible to possibly taking more hits physically. What do you do mentally, physically, to prepare for that kind of
thing? See, the thing is, we don't have to take a hit. And you'll understand why when you see us practice or when you see us play. So you don't even have to take a hit.
Mike, is he able to run out of the slide?
That too. That's option number two.
Mike, quicker reads? Is it like quicker reads get rid of the ball faster, that type of thing?
It all depends. It's quicker reads and quicker decisions that need to be made, depending on what personnel we're in, depending on you know, what the concept is. But, you know, it's so many different concepts, and there's so many ways to get guys to football. You know, like I said, it's very refreshing for all of us.
Mike, how has the culture changed with Chip Kelly as a head coach?
Well, you know, I think it's just a different vibe. It's a different feel. You know, the guys in the locker room, they want to please Coach Kelly. They want to be the best that they can be. They want to, you know, want this to work. They want this to be a success. And, you know, I know in just talking to Chip, you know, and getting to know him over the last 3 months, man, he's an awesome personality. And you know, he's going to make this a lot of fun for us. And we understand that as players. So, you know, we're excited about it.
Two more
from Mike. It's a hot monitor. Yeah.
How important is it?
Can't tell you why I wear
to set that. Excuse me. Talking yesterday about that. You're the most experienced player on the team. You're the oldest player on the team now. How important is it that
don't
you have to
that.
Kind of set that?
Don't repeat that.
Set the tone there.
How was it?
Just kind of set the tone of the workouts and
You know what? I feel like being the oldest guy on the team, being the leader of our football team, I feel like it's important for me to bring the guys along. When I was a young guy, it was older guys who always encouraged me to be the best that I can be, not only in the weight room, or not only on the field, but in the classroom, around the building, you know, practicing good habits. And, you know, when I first sat down with Chip, the first thing he said is that we got to let our habits reflect our mission. And I think it starts with being a great leader, and I understand that. Trying to get the other guys to understand that, so when I'm gone, they can do the same thing for the generations of players to come.
As long as you
play this game, as you stand here today, what do you have to prove to you moving forward?
I have a lot. I still feel like I have a lot to prove in this game. I still feel like, you know, I have to go out and be more consistent than what I've been. And, you know, I think different systems can dictate that. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about your preparation and how much you put into it. And you get out of it what you get into it, what you put into it. So, you know, I'm trying to put a lot into it. I'm trying to, you know, rejuvenate, you know myself and you know, really just take advantage of, you know, the last couple of years and the opportunities that I have, because, you know, can't play this game for forever, and I'm just trying to enjoy it on the way out.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
All right. So, well, Michael didn't give away the entire offense for sure, but there were a couple of things you read into it. The words read option did come out of his mouth. The idea that you don't have to take a hit. And as we all laugh about it, ha, 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 sliding is option number two. If Chip Kelly can get Michael Vick to slide, just imagine the possibilities. I mean, that would be a great feat of coaching. And what an element to Michael Vick's game. So we're going to get some more players from outside as they... And Michael, I love the demeanor. Very relaxed, very confident. Felt he had a... large improvement in day two from day one of practice with this Eagles offense. Day three to come tomorrow in the pre-draft minicamp. And, of course, next week we've got the draft coverage. Tomorrow night we find out about the NFL the NFL schedule. Good times, people. Good times. We've got Eagles football right here. Let me tell you something about some ways to accentuate your wear in the spring and summer. Some Eagles golf shirts that are beautiful, catchy, snazzy even. Eagles golf gear. Look at those colors. Bold. What is this, the Oregon uniform? Come on. Check out your new Eagles golf gear at the official Philadelphia Eagles Pro Shop right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're going to have some merchandise specials for you, of course, throughout our draft coverage next week. Make sure you tune in and take part. And I know you will. Merrill Reese will be with us, Adam Kaplan, Greg Cosell. We'll have full coverage from New York City and Radio City Music Hall. E-Rock will be interviewing some of the fans. We'll hear from Sal Palantonio from ESPN. We'll go one-on-one with Chip Kelly, with Howie Roseman, as we dissect this draft, which is nothing short of fascinating. In fact, last night I was at an event with Howie, and we'll get to that in a bit here, but a little sneak peek. We invited couple hundred fans into the NovaCare complex, little cocktail hours, some hors d'oeuvres, some yummy munchies. Don Smolenski, Eagles president, came down. We had a really good time, and we talked about the draft and the process of the draft. And it's not something that you put together in a couple of days, a couple of weeks, even a couple of months. It's something that you start right after one draft, preparing for the following draft. All right, let's go to Reggie in California, who joins us on Eagles Live. Hi, Reggie.
Hey, Dave. Long time no talk.
How are you?
Not too bad. I've been watching, I guess, your Eagles live yesterday. And,
thank you.
Today. So I had to give you a call. A few things here. I hate to be negative, but number one, I can't stand Michael Vick.
Why is that?
I hope he's gone. He's just not a very smart quarterback. I mean, I know he thinks it's read option this and that, but I just think that when it comes to crunch time, he's going to do the same thing he always does, which is not make mistakes, not read the blitz, and turn the ball over.
Well, we're gonna find out, Reggie. I just
hope he's not here. I just can't. Anyway, so that's one thing. Number two, I hope they do not draft Geno Smith. I don't think he's that good of a quarterback. He's average at best. Okay. And number three, as much as you think we can have a dominant offensive line, I'm not quite sure why you think that. Even though
why wouldn't you think that?
Well, you're getting back two guys off injury, Peters and Jason Kelce.
Peters has recovered for 2 years from the injury. Go ahead.
Okay, so he's good to go. So, I mean, hopefully he'll come back to his dominant form. And then you have Jason Kelce, who was only, he'll come back from his torn ACL.
Yeah, torn ACL last September.
He was good, but I mean, you hope he'll keep rising and seem to be a good player. But to say we have, and then on the right side, you have actually Danny Watkins, who's still underwhelmed.
No question about it. I expect Danny Watkins to be very challenged. Listen, if Danny Watkins wins the starting job, then he is playing great football.
Okay, well.
Under your premise, you might as well just write the Washington Redskins off. Now, everybody in the national media is saying RG3 is ahead of schedule. What a Superman, amazing. The Redskins are counting on him to be great. I think the idea that players can't come back from ACLs for 2 years, I've always subscribed to the theory of it takes a year to come back from a major injury. I'm not disagreeing with that. So there's certainly you want to have some insurance along the offensive line for Kelce, for Harriman's.
Just because, and you say if Danny Watkins, I'm sorry, but just because Danny Watkins actually wins starting job, that means nothing.
Yes, it does.
Who's starting now at right guard?
Well, they're going to draft an offensive lineman, Reggie. Okay. They might draft three.
Might be a tackle,
a guard, three center. I mean, who knows? They know that they've got to be they've got a chance with a coach whose resume. And thank you for the call. The resume of Jeff Stoutland is as impressive as you can get. Certainly Howard Mudd's was too. I would like to have seen how Howard would have performed had three starters not been lost for basically the season. But I'm taking the optimistic approach here. I think, first of all, I'm all for giving Michael Vick a chance to win the job. Open, fair competition. And after that, see who wins the job. Michael Vick, Dennis Dixon, Nick Foles, draft pick. Okay. Offensive line, bring in a couple more players to challenge Harriman's and Mathis and Kelce and Peters and Watkins and Dennis Kelly and Dallas Reynolds. Probably more depth now on this team at the offensive line group than any time I can remember in an April pre-draft situation. That's the view I'm going to take, the optimistic one. There's way too much optimism in this building to have you bring me down, Reggie. But I respect your opinion, and we'll see who's right at the end. All right, let's take a break here. When we come back, more reaction from the field. Players talking about the practices under Chip Kelly, the roles they see for themselves, and just what's going on from a football standpoint with this Eagles team. Eagles Live returns in just a moment.
Live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
How to awesome a road game. Step one, work the Saturday shift. Step two, go to Xfinity.com/TV to watch your team live. Step 3. Show your support in any way you can. Awesome is the most live sports with Xfinity TV. Xfinity, the future of awesome.
cross. One must possess coordination and agility, execute every pass with precision, and evade every opponent until the moment is just right. 3 days, three championships, the ultimate lacrosse experience at the 2013 NCAA Men's Lacrosse Championships. Experience it live as Divisions 1, 2, and 3 national championships are awarded May 25th through the 27th at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Tickets start at $60. Visit ncaa.com/lacrosse and make a date with champions.
Dave Spinner with you, 215-339-6709, the telephone number. We want to hear from you as we are in the middle of a two-week Eagles blitz, if you will. 215-339-6709, the telephone number. Give us a call. It's the minicamp this week. It's the draft next week. It's the schedule tomorrow night. It's fun, fun, fun until Chip Kelly takes my microphone away. How about some more Eagles gear for you? We've got some great stuff for you. Unleash the speed. The Shop Nike NFL jerseys, LeSean McCoy looking good there, running away from the Dallas Cowboys. We'd like to see that a lot. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool ad. That is all available for you online here at PhiladelphiaEagles.com in our Pro Shop and at Lincoln Financial Field in the Pro Shop there. You might be going to the draft party. One of the, I don't know, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 Eagles fans who will be attending next Thursday's draft party. Doors open at 5:30 at Lincoln Financial Field. Make sure you are a part of the opportunity to cheer on the draft with other great Eagles fans. And speaking of great Eagles fans, we have had some opportunity here the last couple of nights to meet some, and I've go through the highs and lows with you. And I can just feel right now that the emotion is great. I mean, the excitement level is high. I think Chip has brought a lot of pizzazz here. Don't you just see everybody being energetic? I think I just saw Michael Vick, and I thought he just looked different, relaxed, excited, understanding that he's got a lot to learn. Almost giddy that he had a really good day of practice after what he said was not as good a day yesterday. I like that stuff. All right, let's go to Alan in Browns Mill, New Jersey. Yeah, Alan, I remember you last night, man. He came through. We had this inside the draft room event with Howie Roseman. I got to meet Alan and a lot of other people. Alan from Browns Mills, New Jersey. How you doing, buddy?
It's John. John Allen.
Oh, it's John. John Allen.
Hey, what's up, Dave?
Yeah, I knew it was John. I thought it was John.
Yeah.
Hey, John.
Yeah, listen, I just wanted to, again, appreciate, thank
he
you.
He sat here. He sat in the Spadaro chair.
Yes, I felt honored.
In this massive Xfinity studio.
Yes, it was, I really liked the question and answering session you guys had.
Cool.
Or, the chance opportunity to ask questions. The one thing that I worry about.
Sure.
Do you think that if Michael Vick doesn't seem to get it, do you think that Nick will get the chance to run the offense?
It's a fair question, John. Yes, I do. Now, will the Eagles draft a quarterback? Very much a possibility. But
yeah.
Everything that I've heard.
Right.
It is an open competition. Now, that would obviously, if they're running read option, I guess I just don't see Nick Foles running a lot of read option, because if I'm a defense, I'm not going to respect his running abilities.
Does this now, okay, since he's coming in from, he's bringing in, well, since he's been in, does this drive the defensive coordinators kind of crazy to try to figure out Chip's philosophy, I mean, I don't want to say philosophy, but I mean a new way of the league, of this new spread offense? Does it, are defensive coordinators going to be thinking, wow, how are we going to defend
no,
it?
No, I let.
Does that become a something challenging for them? Or
well, I haven't seen. Thanks for the call, John. Great to see you last night. Did you call today? I appreciate it. I don't know that. I mean, look, if it's working, yeah, then you say, wow, there's a two-headed monster. But I don't get the sense that that there's any plan at all to have a two-headed quarterback rotating. Brian Dawkins at practice yesterday came by. Loved seeing B-Doc. And if you watched Eagles Update, you got a sense from him what practice is like. I don't think they're going to run a during-the-game rotating quarterback situation. But, I mean, again, I really don't know. I think Chip's whole thing right now is that he wants to see what both Vic and Foles can do given this volume of information. I don't think there's a I don't think there's an idea that, hey, when we're going to throw the ball, we're going to have a drop back in the pocket and Nick Foles is going to be the quarterback. When we want to run the read option, then it'll be Michael Vick. I don't think that's the case at all. And I do think that both Pat Shurmur, now again, Pat Shurmur's background is as a West Coast offense passing game. You know, those are the principles of his passing. Those are the roots. But look, I'm learning just like you guys are learning. I'm not out of practice. I talk to the players, just getting bits and pieces. Talk to the coaches, bits and pieces of what they're doing. I can tell you that in these practices, the volume of reps they're getting far exceeds what they got with Andy Reid. There is no standing around. They are not taking 20 seconds in a huddle. They are rolling, as Chip Kelly says. They are rolling through these practices, getting as many reps as they can so the coaches can go back and look at their players and say, okay, this player was in the right position. That player needs some help. Let's go to Herb in Kansas City. Hey, Herb. Herbie, hello. I hear nobody.
Hello?
Hey, who's this? Herb?
No, this is Dejan.
Dejan, where are you calling from, brother?
Irvington.
I can't understand. We call back. You have a bad connection. I apologize for that. Our film room series, been a great one. Fran Duffy overseeing this with NFL Films senior producer Greg Cosell, working with our NFL insider Adam Kaplan throughout the entire offseason, throughout going through the free agent possibilities, then the players the Eagles brought in via free agency. Now we're focused on the draft and almost finished the draft with our film room series. Today we focus on, well, we had the topic earlier today, the offensive line. And then on the other side of this, we're going to hear from, yes, Danny Watkins. But first, a look at some offensive line possibilities for next week's draft.
They could use an interception. They could use a fumble, something. They need a game-changing play. The rush is coming. He's being chased. He's being sacked. D'Amico Ryans has him.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Adam Kaplan. He's Greg Cosell. We're inside the film room. Greg, and when we look at the offensive tackles and the guards for the draft, Greg, it seems like Luke Jokel is the number one guy. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, but let me throw something out, and then we'll talk about Luke Jokel
sure.
and others.
All right.
We've talked, you and I, many times. I've talked with a lot of people about this. Everybody talks about tackle, particularly left tackle, being such an important position. Mm-hmm. Well, if you go back and look at the last five or six Super Bowl winners, there have not been very good left tackles. So it gets back to the point we've talked about numerous times. So is now left tackle not an important position
here's
anymore
the issue
in the
NFL? Here's my retort to that.
And
if you have a great quarterback.
Right. David Deal played left tackle on two Super Bowl winning Giants teams.
And he was
Max Sarge
a guard.
Pittsburgh.
And he got moved to left tackle. Right?
Correct. So that's not a knock on any of these players, but it's interesting the way certain things become conventional wisdom and accepted that, oh, you better go get a left tackle. Well, I don't know. Do you need to go get a left tackle? But anyway, let's talk about Luke Jokel.
All right, now, Jokel, as one executive told me, he's the cleanest offensive lineman for this draft. He said it's hard to find any negatives, but
I agree.
Does he have the upside of the other guys, like Lane Johnson and others?
Well, he's, for instance, Jake Long a few years ago, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, was the number one pick in the draft.
Oh, wait, draft.
Okay. People forget, Jake Long's been injured, didn't have a very good year this year, but this kid's a smoother mover than Jake Long. Okay, but I don't think he's quite as athletic as, let's say, Ryan Clady. And Ryan Clady was the 12th or 13th pick the year he came out.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been the same year, I can't remember.
Right.
But this kid's very clean, Jokel. When you watch him, what really stands out, he has phenomenal balance and body control. He's never off balance. He's never recovering. He always looks, to use the term you said when you spoke to someone, he always looks very clean. He's a really solid football player. You're not going to go wrong choosing this kid to play left tackle for you.
You know, it's funny, when you speak about clean, the term that was given to me is, he's, this executive said, when you watch linemen, he goes, you don't have to be an expert. What you look for is, how does the player recover from being in an awkward position?
Correct.
And that really plays to Joko, and I think that kind of is what
First
you're
of all,
here.
He's rarely in an awkward position because he's just...
He's clean.
He's so... His balance and his body control is so good, but he's a very comfortable player.
Okay.
And he's a clean player. I have no problem with Joko being drafted anywhere because this kid's going to line up for you at left tackle and you're fine.
Eric Fisher out of the MAC, out of Central Michigan,
yes.
A small school, but here's a guy, Senior Bowl week, was terrific. I think he helped himself, Greg. What have you seen?
I think he's similar to Joko. And again, I would bet that there are people who like Fisher a little more than Joko because I think they're somewhat similar players. So I think it's you're splitting hairs. He's another guy who's a very clean player. Really good balance, doesn't have to recover very often. They're smooth, efficient movers, not explosive athletes. I want to make a point here. Neither one of these guys is the same prospect as Orlando Pace, Walter Jones, Jonathan Ogden.
Now, you're talking about Hall of Famers, my friend.
So I understand that.
That's big time.
No,
big
I understand that, but
okay.
Those are the, you know, maybe not even Willie Rofe, who's also a Hall
yes.
of Famer,
yes.
by the way.
Yeah.
But these guys will be very good NFL players.
I totally agree with you. In fact, I think there's a chance that three of these tackles could go in the top 10.
Johnson being the other one?
And Lane Johnson out of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. I get to the Senior Bowl, and I meet this kid. I had a chance to talk to him. And I heard he was kind of an interesting kid. He's playing left tackle for a year and a half.
A year
Greg.
And a half.
It's incredible.
Yeah, and the one thing that really stood out watching tape of this kid, and this is what you want to see, because he was inexperienced, is he clearly improved as the year progressed. Early in the season, you could see the athleticism, mm-hmm. but he didn't know how to use it. So you'd see really good movement, but he wasn't that good a player.
Right.
And then as the year progressed, you could see he got better and better and better because he was learning how to play the position. And he's a very athletic kid, although he still at times struggles with some technique, which again, that can be coached, and it will be coached when he gets to the NFL, but he clearly is a very athletic. He's theoretically on the blackboard, you know, in your abstract discussions, what you look for at left tackle, because he's a better pure athlete than Joko or Fisher. Right now, he's not as good a player, but he's a better pure athlete.
Yeah, in fact, he looks like a tight end trying to play left tackle.
Yeah.
He's got that outstanding athleticism. Now, DJ Fluker out of Alabama, it's interesting. One executive pointed out to me, he said, you know what?
He's a big dude.
Well, here's one thing. He says, one thing you got to understand, the reason why he's got versatility, over 87-inch arms. I mean, his reach is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And you like that because he's not as tall as the other guys, but this means that he still could play left tackle with that
so
reach.
He played right tackle. Have you talked to people about him? Do they see him as a tackle in the NFL?
You know, I've heard three positions. Either guard, right or left tackle. But the one executive said to me, he said, the one thing that they liked is when you see that wingspan,
yeah,
and you love that, it's 6'4 and a half. Usually you want your left tackle at least 6'5.
Well,
he said,
yeah.
He makes up for it with arm length.
Yeah, he played right at Alabama. And when I watched him, because he tends to be a bit of a waistbender, he's not a great athlete for a tackle. I immediately thought, God, if this guy played guard, he could be an all-pro guard. So I'm very anxious to see how he's evaluated by teams. Will teams keep him at tackle? Will they move him inside? I think he could be an absolute dynamo at guard. He could probably be a solid right tackle. He's not going to hurt you at right tackle. But I think there'll be times when he struggles in pass protection.
Now, speaking of playing inside a guard, his teammate from Alabama, Chance Warmack, is an interesting player. He's only 6'2". Guy's
he's a good player.
Very good player at Alabama, Greg. How does he look on tape?
I love him on tape. I think he moves really well. Because body type-wise, because he's not that tall, but you watch him move, get to the second level, he's really a good player overall. Again, another guy you're going to line up. You're going to draft this kid. You're going to line him up inside. I think Chance Warmack and Jonathan Cooper from North Carolina,
we'll
get to in a second,
right.
are both better prospects than David DeCastro was coming out of Stanford last year.
It was a first-round pick for the Steelers.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Now, when we look at Jonathan Cooper, here's what I know about him. Not real tall. Tape is real good. Highly intelligent kid. Clearly a guard. He's only 6'2", 6'2", and 1/10". But when you see him, do you think he's one of the best offensive linemen for this draft?
He's the best athlete at guard that I've seen since I really started delving into college coaching tape, which is maybe 7-8 years. So I don't go back 20 years.
Wow.
But this kid is the best athlete at guard that I've seen. He is so fluid. And you know what I like about him, too? Once you get past the athleticism, which is clearly off the charts, he's nasty. He goes and looks to hit people.
Let me ask you this question before we move on to Justin Pugh from Syracuse. We've talked about how the media and the fans say, oh, well, this guy's not a top 10 pick because he's a guard. If you're saying he's the best athlete you've seen in 8 years, 7 or 8 years, why shouldn't he be a top 10
pick?
Well,
that gets down to how you do your boards. And we've joked about it as we've done these film rooms on different positions. Ultimately, you make a board, an overall board evaluating players. Then you make position boards. Okay. Now, if Jonathan Cooper is the ninth best player on your board, what are you going to do? You're going to say, oh, we can get a guard in the third round, so we're not going to draft
Jonathan
Cooper?
That's my point.
Cooper.
That's why I asked
Ultimately,
you.
Right. You've got to rate the players in this year's draft.
Right.
But if he's in your top 10 as an overall player on your board, then you got to draft the guy because that's how you have him evaluated.
Exactly. Now, Justin Pugh from Syracuse, Greg, who's a Senior Bowl guy. I had a chance to meet him. Nice kid, Philly area kid. The issue that executives have, it's really simple. Is he a left tackle? Is he a right tackle? Is he a guard? Greg, you've seen the tape. What do you see?
I like him at left tackle.
Do
I
mean, you?
Yeah, I do. I understand that issue. And
he's 6'5".
Right.
Okay, 6'4.5".
It wouldn't surprise me if he was moved to right tackle or even to guard. But when I watch him, and obviously I watched a lot of games because of Brian Nassib, the quarterback, I think this kid can play left tackle. Is he exactly what you want? No. But as we talked about at the beginning of this segment, there's a lot of left tackles in this league who are not the prototypes. I think he can play left tackle.
Oh, well, I hope you're right because, you know.
Well, that will determine where he can. If he's viewed as a left tackle, he'll get into the end of the first round. If he's not viewed as a left tackle, he won't be in the first round.
No, I totally agree with it because it's the value. That left tackle position throughout the draft is obviously going to have more value. All right, great stuff out of you, Greg. He's Greg Cosell. I'm Adam Kaplan. Stay tuned inside the film room.
They can use an interception. They can use a fumble, something. They need a game-changing play. The rush is coming. He's being chased. He's being sacked. D'Amico Ryans has him.
All right, great stuff there from Adam and from Greg and Fran. Great, just a wonderful series that I think a lot of people have taken notice. And we know that Eagles fans appreciate it because we see the numbers of people who watch it. All right, Paul in Texas giving us a call. Hey, Paul.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Good. Listen, I just wanted to call and tell you that I've pretty much bled green for 66 years.
Thank you.
Even though I live in Texas, I brought the Flyers and the Eagles and everybody else with me.
Thank you.
But I want to tell you something. I have never been more excited about a season that's coming up than right now.
That's great to hear. What makes you so excited? What's flipped the switch?
I think after all these years, I think there's finally some energy. And there was a lot going on with the Eagles that should have been corrected probably within the last 2 or 3 years.
Yep.
And instead of correcting the problems, I think what they do is they just added to them.
Well, I think now that we've seen how the change has impacted the tempo of life around here.
Right.
You know, you look back and say, boy, why did they do it? But I think Andy Reid deserved every bit of time in 2011 and 2012. His track record suggested that he deserved the chance to turn this team around.
Correct. And he didn't, and it was time to move on, and I'm just absolutely tickled to death. I'm just all excited with the energy.
Good.
People ask me, I've got a brother that still lives in northern Philadelphia up in Falsington, and he asked me, he says, who do you think they ought to draft? And I said, I don't care. I said, we hired a coach and a staff who knows what they're doing, and we have no idea what they have planned for this year, next year, or maybe 3 years down the road. So they're going to pick the best people that are available. There's no doubt in my mind.
Well, and that's one part of it, Paul, and then the other part is making sure that they fit your scheme and that they're coached properly and that they develop the players. And it's really a collaborative effort from the start of the scouting process. And I am not, Paul, focused on one pick. I am focused on each of these 7 rounds, and I think the Eagles have a lot of great possibilities.
Your honest opinion, I know what you would like to see them do, but what do you, in reality, think they're going to do with the first pick?
I think they will listen to every offer, and if they have a good one, they'll move down.
Okay.
Okay, and I think that they will address at that point, you know, offensive line, defensive line, one of those two.
Right, right. The only two people that kind of really stick out to me is Fisher and Milner. And of course, you know, who's to say?
I don't know. I know Milner is, you know, certainly the very best of this group. Thanks for the call, Paul. Very best of this group of cornerbacks. There are some other ones. And the Eagles did go out and bring in Kerry Williams, did go out and bring in Bradley Fletcher. Not game-changing players. Although I'll tell you, Kerry Williams played some outstanding football for the Baltimore Ravens, the Super Bowl champion Baltimore Ravens. All right, let's go into the locker room now, actually out on the field. Dammy Watkins, very much in the crosshairs. Disappointing 2012 season. After, I'd say, a solid rookie season in 2011 when the Eagles made him their first-round draft pick. Where does Watkins stand in the big picture with this Eagles offensive line? Right now he's starting at right guard, and he seems like he's got a little bit more energy, focus, and confidence this April as opposed to last season.
Monday was our first day, so like I said, we had a flight first thing Sunday morning and jumped on the bird, and everyone always laughed. They said, "Well, where was your honeymoon?" And I said, "No, it was in Philadelphia."
Chip said you drove. You didn't drive.
Well, I flew here because wanted to be here for the Monday, and then flew back to get Mama and the dogs, and you know, you get all the wedding presents, and you gotta put them somewhere. So we just threw everything in the truck and drove back.
How do you find married life?
No comment. No, it's great. I'm kidding. No, it's great.
Do you feel re-energized, I guess, a little bit by just the change in staff and the change in culture here?
Absolutely, yeah. No, it's really enjoying it. And, you know, it's Coach Kelly is you know, he's definitely changed things here for the better. So it's a very, I guess you could say, electrified atmosphere.
Any specific examples of certain changes?
You know, there's so many. You know, it's just, you know, it's like he came in and overhauled the building without, well, you know, actually, you know, he did take the doors off and some of the rooms, and you know, he's changed everything. You know, just the little things to the big things. You know, just the strength and conditioning, nutrition. You know, how we're recovering. You know, and then obviously the major stuff. You know, the offense and how we're running things out here.
Do you feel like this, whatever this new offense is a pretty good suit for you?
You know what? I think it is. You know, it's more geared to what I think our strengths are, you know, and we got Jason. Both Jasons are going to be back this year, so it's definitely going to be an exciting time up front. I got to go get the lift on here, so just one more.
How does it differ from what Howard, his technique and
you know,
the schemes you guys ran with?
Yeah, I don't want to get too much into the scheme of things, but, you know, Howard had a very untraditional pass set, and Coach Stout has more of a traditional pass set, so that's obviously first and foremost.
You like Coach Stout so far?
Yeah, I really do, actually. You know, we've been spending a lot of time together, and he's a coach you relate to, and you kind of look up to him, and you want to work hard for him, and you want to do the best you can for him.
You feel like you have something to prove after the way last season ended?
I mean, I think we all do. You know, that was a pretty embarrassing way to end the season, so you know, I think we all got to work hard and have a good season this year. I go get the lift on.
Well, good to hear from Dammy Watkins as he's suggesting a different mindset for him as an offensive lineman and throughout this entire building. And I've been expressing that to you for many, many months. It is a different world here with the Philadelphia Eagles. On the other side, we've got some practice footage from today's workouts, so stay with us here on Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
With the 12th pick in the 2012 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select
Mississippi State defensive tackle Fletcher Cox.
What a
is the Philadelphia Eagles. They traded up, but they didn't have to go all the way to 6 to get Fletcher Cox. They got him at 12. They give up a 4th-round pick, a 6th-round pick.
This is the guy everyone in the media knew about.
the Eagles interviewed him at the combine. This guy gets upfield. I'm stunned. I didn't think they'd be able to get him. The fact of the matter is that he's going to be an Eagle. This is the guy that they came into draft wanting.
A lot of people like the speed around the edge that Vinnie Curry has.
They'll be able to get some depth at receiver if they really want some.
I think their aggressive style really fits well with Michael's play.
There's a player I really, really like. I would be surprised if he went in the second round.
Folks who save hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico sure are happy.
And how happy are they, Jimmy?
Happier than Christopher Columbus with speedboats.
That's happy.
Get happy. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars. Smart homes. Smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
An ankle sprain is an injury to one or more of the ligaments around the ankle, usually involving the outer aspect of the ankle. Ankle sprains occur from rolling the ankle during an athletic event. The severity of ankle sprains can range from a stretch injury to a partial tear to even complete tears of the ligaments. If you have sustained an ankle injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at the Rothman Institute at Jefferson, the leading provider of orthopedic care in the region.
So, man, how's that Bud Light Port Paradise cruise?
Oh, man. First day. So later on is all swing, baby, swing, swing, baby. Then we hit the ship's deck. Next day, there's this private island concert. So what'd you guys do?
4 days, 3 nights, a 2-day music festival, and one legendary party, Bud Light Port Paradise. Here we go.
Join us on May 18th and 19th for Eagles Academy for Men. This is your chance to learn from the pros, play like the pros, and even eat like the pros. Now get the ins and outs of football from Eagles coaches, then put those skills to the test on the practice field with current Eagles players. Throughout the day, get a first-hand look at the Eagles practice facility, including the weight room, the training room, team meeting rooms, and even the locker room. Tickets are on sale now at PhiladelphiaEagles.com/Men's Academy.
Hi, I'm Bill Lazor, quarterback's coach. You're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Dave Spadaro back with you here, Eagles Live, the name of our show on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We've got a show again tomorrow at 2:30, and then on Monday at 7:30, we bring you the finals of the Eagles cheerleader competition. We've got some great partners at Teva Pharmaceuticals, and they have a program that everyone in this area should pay attention to. It's called our Community Quarterback Award, presented by Teva Pharmaceuticals. And do you have an outstanding volunteer organization in the Philadelphia area? The Eagles and Teva Pharmaceuticals are looking for nominations for this year's Community Quarterback Awards, when $100,000 will be awarded to the most deserving. Applications available today in the community section of PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Please don't miss out on that opportunity to really help your volunteer situation, your community endeavor. It can really make a huge difference, and we fully support it, and we thank Teva Pharmaceuticals for their great partnership with the Philadelphia Eagles. Dave Spadaro with you here. And we're going to go out to the practice field in just a minute, but first, Jimmy the Geek in Las Vegas joins us. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Dave.
How are you, buddy?
I'm well. I want to make sure that in the book you have my pick of Lane Johnson that I made.
I have it written down.
Okay. Because he just did.
I know. I read it. Everybody thinks the Eagles
are
interested.
Is that great or what?
The key to a team that does it right before the draft is that every player thinks that that team is interested in them.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
There's a piece on the local sports.
Some practice footage from today, guys. Just to hang on, Jimmy. Some practice footage from today. Just take a look at it. Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry, Jimmy.
And it's Mel Kiper's picks over the last 10 years where he rated, like, quarterbacks, and they're crucifying him about Achilles Smith and some of these other guys can't miss.
I would argue that Achilles Smith was in a situation in Cincinnati, and the Eagles liked Achilles Smith a lot.
Right.
You know, Donovan came to a situation where it was a stable coaching staff. They had a good offensive line in place and a coach who believed in building the offensive line, a great system. You know, that's part of success in the NFL is finding the right coaches and finding the right supporting cast and finding the right scheme.
Yeah, I think that what they were talking about in terms of the piece was how the pundits have every first rounder that can't miss, you know, is going to help the team immensely. And then when you go back and look at it years later, you know, it's sort of like, gosh, how did they, you know, miss that? And then you get a guy that slips into the third, fourth, fifth round. There's a little mud on or egg on people's faces. I think it's kind of cool. Anyway,
yeah.
Just wanted to make sure I'm in the book, Dave.
Yep. You got it. Lane Johnson, Jimmy the Geek in Las Vegas. You got it, brother. Okay. What can I say? All right, Vinny Curry, high draft pick last year. Where does he stand in this defense? We remember the second day of the draft, people raving about that pick. Is Vinny Curry the right fit now in this defense? We're going to get to that in just a bit here. It's a really interesting question. There are going to be some pieces that have been here that just don't work out in the new scheme. So, Vinny Curry, is he ready? We ready with him? Yeah? Yeah, we ready with Vinny? Yeah, let's get to Vinny because a talented kid, an eager kid. I thought he played really well in the preseason. I thought he was coming on. I was disappointed that the Eagles didn't give him more playing time last year. What does the new coaching staff have in mind for Curry? We spoke to him after practice today. Let's send it out to the practice field and hear from Vinny Curry.
Technique and striking standpoint, and you know, last year was just how fast can you go. Here is more, it's gonna take more patience. You know, striking your guy, you know, relaxing, seeing the second key.
Where are you playing?
the play at N.
N, okay.
You get the sense that's definite, or you're still gonna be tried out a few different spots here in the coming months?
So far, so good, you know, rolling with the guys, and you know, Coach Az, you know, definitely got some plans up his sleeve, and I trust in this staff. You know, they're gonna put me in the best position to make plays this year.
When did they tell you who gave you the news? I mean, what was your reaction when they told you that that's what they were looking at you doing?
You know, as a football player, you say let's get it, man. Last year, you know, I was disappointed with the playing time, and this year, you know, I'm just hungry, man. I just want to get out in the field and help this team win football games. So. Really wasn't no reaction, but let's get to work.
You said you did it in college. Did you do? You did it in a 3-4 type system, where
same coach, yep.
So was it like two gap responsibilities, or yeah,
same thing.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You know the target weight you're getting to.
Well, nah, man, just you know, I'm just taking it one day at a time.
Where are you at now? And where did you finish the year?
I'm at 278 now, and last year I don't even know what I was last year. Maybe like 260.
Yeah. What are your impressions of Coach Azanera so far?
You know, same person, man. You know, definitely the same person. You know, it's just great working back with him again. You know, even working back with Coach Mena and those guys, man, it's just great. It's like a family reunion.
You had Jerry.
Oh, it's just same defense. I played in college.
Yeah, but you had –
He was my coach, yeah.
He was your coach, right?
All right, so Vinny Curry trying to prove himself to this new coaching staff. Hey, Eagles fans, we want to tell you about a great promotion we've got with our good friends and partners at Coca-Cola. We call it Coke Live, Coke Live Positively. Coca-Cola and the Eagles want to know how your child lives positively by participating in a healthy and active lifestyle. Visit the Eagles Facebook page and tell us for the chance to let your child play with the Eagles players on Lincoln Financial Field. So, if your kids live that healthy and active lifestyle, make sure you let us know. Go to the Eagles Facebook page, and maybe you have a chance to win and get on Lincoln Financial Field, get down on the field, and have a good time. Last night had a great event. Now, it was the first time we'd ever run this event. It was an event where we invited some sweepstakes winners, some season ticket holders, some fans to come into the NovaCare complex and get behind the scenes a little bit. We had a cocktail hour. We invited them outside, mixing and mingling with some Eagles brass. Beautiful night. And then we took it inside, and everybody had a good time. Howie Roseman, Eagles general manager, and I broke down, and there's Eagles president Don Smolinski talking to the fans, and Don does a great job getting out there with the fans, some giveaways. And then the program itself, we were evaluating the draft process. When does it begin? Going behind the scenes as the Eagles made Fletcher Cox their first-round pick in 2012. Full house in the auditorium at Lincoln at NovaCare, the NovaCare complex, and I think we delivered. Everybody really enjoyed the Insider Eagles Draft War Room, the first of a series that we're going to have this year, bringing the fans up close and personal with the Philadelphia Eagles. Smiles all around, Fletcher Cox enjoying it. Hey, who's that guy? Looked pretty good right there. It was a good time for everyone. So thanks to everyone who came, and there will be more of them in the future, more of those events in the future. More of us in the future. Tomorrow we've got Eagles Live at 2:30, and then next week we hit you full scale with Eagles Draft Live beginning on Monday at noon with our preview show. We go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday at 6 o'clock all the way through the end of the draft. We are live. Eagles Draft Live presented by Dietz & Watson. You can watch us on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. You can watch us on your phone, on your Eagles official app. Make sure you are tuned in during the draft because we will be live from the NovaCare Complex, from Radio City Music Hall, from Lincoln Financial Field. We'll have all the one-on-ones and behind-the-scenes info, including the draft picks, first, right here. All right, guys, thanks for joining us today on Eagles Live. We're back tomorrow. We've got an Eagles update coming tonight, so make sure you tune in for that, everyone. Thanks again, and have yourselves a great Eagles night.
I'm fighting for you.